Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And this is one of my favorite teachings. This is one of the very first teachings that I ever put out. And we've just re-released the book. In the past, we had this hardback cover. My staff did this because they felt like this was kind of like my signature teaching or one of the main things. So we made this a hardback cover. They put my picture on the front of it. And I've apologized about it so many times. They gave me so much grief that we finally reissued it in a paperback with a different cover on it, which I like much, much better. And anyway, this is a powerful book. I encourage you to please get this teaching. Hopefully the things that I've been saying about this have rung a bell on the inside, because this is just an area that very few people have an understanding of. But grace and faith are describing God's part and our part. And this is so important that we understand this. You know, I've been saying a lot of things. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I really want to balance this out and talk about some of the misconceptions people have about faith. But I want to just finish this thought about some of the abuses of people teaching on the grace of God. Now, I consider myself to be a grace teacher. Matter of fact, I receive a lot of flack for teaching on grace. And I have people say all kinds of terrible things about me. But because I also teach on faith, well, then I have the grace people criticize me over that. And so, you know, I'm not in the grace camp or in the faith camp. I'm in the grace through faith camp, where I try and mix the two together. And because of it, I've never been completely embraced by the faith people nor by the grace people. I'm somewhere in between. There's a lot of people that will teach on grace, and because of that, they don't believe in such things as giving and believing God for an increase in prosperity, because that sounds kind of like a manipulation, like you just give your tithe, put a coin in the slot, and pull the handle, and God comes out. Most grace people are not strong in prosperity. Faith people are. And then people that are strong into faith, they also don't have much of the rest and the joy and the peace and the confidence that God is working things out, because they feel like it's all up to them and so much weight is on their own shoulders that they don't have that. And so, you know, I've gone into faith churches and I'll preach on grace, trying to bring a balance to things. I go into grace churches and I preach on faith. And so anyway, I just don't know exactly where I belong, but it's because of this truth on the grace and faith and how they combine that has made me feel that way. And I've countered a lot of things. You know, I go into churches all of the time who are trying to make God do something. And I'll preach about that. It's already done. And then I'll go into the churches that just think that it's all up to God, and que sera, sera, whatever will be, and I'll go to preaching about that God has already done His part, and He gave us authority, and you have to take authority and speak to your mountain. You know, this is not contradictory. Let me just show you Paul saying something about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, to most people, the things I'm about to read to you, statements by Paul, contradict each other, and yet it's the same person saying these same things, just one sentence after the other. Paul was not contradicting himself. It's not Paul that was wrong. It's our misconstrued ideas of grace and faith today that are all wrong. The fact that we've isolated and just taken one portion of this, that's what's wrong, not Paul's stance. Listen to some of the things that the Apostle Paul said. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 9. For I am the least of all the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, that's a strong statement. Paul, you know, was the one that actually persecuted Christians, hauled them off to jail. It's implied that he actually saw Christians put to death. He was antagonistic to Jesus and the followers of Jesus. And he said, because of that, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. But then he turns around and he says, but by the grace of God. In other words, he's saying, it's not because of my goodness. I didn't deserve this. I haven't earned being an apostle. This is just something that God gave me by grace. It was His choice, independent of my goodness or badness. It was just the grace of God. And so he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then look at this. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, he was just saying that it was by the grace of God that he was who he was. But he says, I didn't let God's grace come in vain, but I labored more abundantly. Now, again, I want you to think about this. Most people who preach on grace say it is completely up to God. You have nothing to do with nothing. It's not based on your goodness. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to seek the Lord. You don't have to pray. It's just the grace of God. That is the way that most people present it. And this would be offensive to most grace preachers today, because Paul turns right around in the same verse and he says, but I labored more abundantly than them all. And people would say, you have nothing to do with anything. God by grace provides everything for us. But whether or not what God has provided comes into physical manifestation is dependent on whether you believe and receive. It doesn't just happen automatically. Again, I use this illustration from Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. So every person who's ever lived on the earth has had God's grace be the same towards them. It has come unto every person. Whether they are a murderer, a rapist, whatever they are, God's grace is the same towards everybody. But does that mean that everybody then has received everything that God has for them? No, God's grace has brought it, but you have to reach out and by faith receive, appropriate what God's grace has already provided. And if you're just going to lay down on the couch and become a couch potato and never study the Word and never pray and never seek the Lord, never get up and do what He leads you to do, and you're just going to sit there and say it's all up to the grace of God, it's not going to work for you. You've got to respond to God's grace. That's what faith is. Faith is not something we do to gain a response, but faith is a positive response to what God has already provided by grace. Boy, those are powerful statements. And see, Paul here understood this. He described his life, that he was actually murdering Christians, persecuting Christians. He didn't deserve anything. He wasn't worthy of this. God didn't look at him and think, oh, what a wonderful person this is. I've got to use them because they are so awesome. No, Paul was about the worst that you could get. Paul was antagonistic and fighting against everything that God did. But God, by grace, appeared unto him and offered him, not based on his goodness, but offered him a position of being one of his apostles, being one of his main guys. And praise God, to Paul's credit, he accepted. He responded. And then he says, and I labored more abundantly than them all. That's talking about Peter, James, John, all of the apostles of the Lord. Paul became the most renowned apostle. He wrote half of the New Testament. God used him in a miraculous way. It wasn't because he deserved it. It was by grace. But it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have come out the way that we now know that it was if he hadn't have responded in faith and labored. He got into the Word of God. He says, I travail in birth for you until Christ be formed within you. He interceded. He prayed. He let the Holy Spirit flow through him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that he prayed in tongues more than all of the Corinthians. And they were being rebuked for their misuse of that gift of speaking in tongues and the fact that they did it so much. And he says, I pray more than all of you put together. Man, the Apostle Paul, he was seeking God. He was studying the Word. He was praying. He was interceding. He traveled the world. He did a lot of things. His actions didn't make God use him. God chose him not based on any of his actions. But if Paul wouldn't have had, if he hadn't have followed through with his actions, then God's grace wouldn't have come to pass. You know, I can relate to this, that God revealed himself to me when I was just a little boy. God showed me things. I've known that God had a purpose for my life from day one. And you know what? It wasn't based on my goodness. It wasn't, you know, God revealed himself to me before I'd done anything good or bad. I hadn't been studying the Word and praying and doing all of these things. It was just something that God ordained for me. I believe that he has a perfect plan and a destiny for every person. Every person watching this program, God has a perfect, perfect plan for your life. And it was established before you were even born. You can see that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, and Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul said he was separated unto the gospel from his mother's womb. So God has a purpose for us before we ever were born, before we ever did anything. It's not based on our actions. That's grace. But does that mean that it's just going to automatically come to pass? No, you have to respond to God's grace. And you know, I just finished a series where I was talking about decisions, determined destiny, and I talked about how that I started seeking the Lord, wanting to know what His purpose for my life was. When God appeared to me, then I made some decisions that have started my life on a different course. And I have followed the Lord, and daily I've been making decisions trying to move me in that direction. And what I see today, the fact that, you know, one half of the world's population can get this broadcast. We reach over 3 billion people a day. We are training people. People's lives are being changed. God had those plans for my life. But you know what? They didn't automatically come to pass. I had to respond to God. I have labored. I have studied the Word. I'm not saying these things to pat myself on the back. I'm just trying to get my point across to you. That people tend to think, well, it's just up to God. God must have ordained that this was His will for your life. Well, yes, it is God's will for my life. But I guarantee you, I have labored. I have sought the Lord. There's been lots of times that I've, you know, withdrawn from other things that I could have been doing to spend time seeking the Lord and listening to Him. Jamie and I have been through some really hard times. Not because God put us through it. Much of it was my own stupidity that put me through it. Like, for instance, when I first got started in ministry, I heard a man say that if you're called to the ministry, you're sinning against God. If you work a secular job, you've got to make your living full-time from the gospel. And I don't know exactly what that guy said. Maybe I misunderstood it. But the way I took it was that I would sin against God if I went out and worked a secular job once I was called to the ministry. So when I first started in the ministry, I was only ministering to 5 people a week, maybe 10 people a week at the, you know, the height of it. And I shouldn't have been trying to live full-time of the gospel, but because of my wrong thinking, and I honestly thought that I wasn't operating in faith, well, then I hindered what God could do. And as a result, Jamie and I went about 5 years, and we nearly starved to death. I mean, physically, we would go weeks without food. When Jamie was 8 months pregnant, we went 2 weeks on a forced fast. Not because we were trying to seek God. We didn't have any money. 8 months pregnant and no money and no food. That's just stupid. My heart was right, but my head was wrong. And you know what? I was hindering God's will because I wasn't cooperating. Finally, I could spend hours talking about that, but the Lord showed me some things. I began to learn that your income from the ministry is proportional to how you minister. And when you're only ministering to a few people, you ought to supplement it the way that the Apostle Paul did. When you get to where you're ministering to so many people that you would have to decrease ministry to go out and make a living, then you can expect to live full-time of the ministry. And when I finally saw these things and started cooperating with what the Word of God said, then our finances started improving. And I have just made decision after decision after decision. And responded. And that didn't make God want to use me. God had a purpose for my life before I was ever born. And I didn't improve His purposes for me, nor do I diminish His purposes if I do something bad. But if I don't cooperate, like I wasn't working, and the Scripture clearly says, if you don't work, don't eat. That's right where I was. I wasn't working, and I wasn't eating. It works. And you know what? I was hindering God's plan in my life until I finally learned some of these things and began to cooperate with God. I tell you, what I'm saying is so powerful if you could understand it. God has a purpose for you. Every person watching this program, God has a purpose. And it's completely independent of you. I don't care if you're a God hater. Right now, I just know in my heart that there's people watching this program that you don't even know why you're watching it, but you don't love God. You don't like God. You think this is a crock. And you're probably watching for who knows what reason. But you know what? God is speaking to you right now that God has known you since before you were even born. Psalms 139 says, He knew all of your parts and had them recorded in a book before they were ever formed in your mother's womb. He has a perfect plan for your life. It doesn't matter if you're a God hater, if you're an agnostic, if you're a skeptic about the whole thing. God has a plan for your life. And it's all grace. It's not based on you. You may think, but God couldn't use me. It's because God's not looking at you. He's not responding to you. Before you were even created, God had a purpose in mind. He created you and designed you for a purpose. That's grace. It's independent of you. Prior to your existence, He already had a plan. But does that mean that your life is just destined to go that way? No, because you have to respond in faith. Right now, you may not know it, but God is speaking to you through me. I believe that God is the one that had you stumble across this program. And God is speaking to you. And if you would just call out in faith and say, oh God, is it true? Do you really have a plan for my life? Would you reveal it to me? I'll follow you. I'll honor you. I'll do what you reveal to me. And if you would do that and start responding, that's what the Bible calls faith and following God. Then God's grace, the plan that He had for your life, will begin to start taking control of you. And it will begin to start turning your life around and moving you in the direction that God wants to go. But He won't do it against your will. God has a plan for every person. I don't know how many millions of people are watching this broadcast, but however many there are, God has a plan for every one of you, but He doesn't force it upon anybody. His part is to reveal the plan, to have the plan, to put within you everything that it takes to succeed. That's God's part. That's grace. It's separate from you and independent of you. But then you have to respond. He will not force Himself upon you. Satan is rude. Satan will force himself into your life. He will try and take advantage of you. But God's not like that. God's a gentleman. God will woo you. He'll speak to you. He's speaking to many of you right now through me and touching your heart. But you have to respond. It doesn't happen automatically. As it says in Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace through faith. It's a combination of those two. That's how you receive salvation. By grace, Jesus dealt with the sins of the entire human race. God the Father put all of our sin upon Jesus. And by grace, He punished His own Son. He separated Himself from His own Son. He allowed physical men to kill His own Son. And He did that because He took our sins. And He has provided forgiveness for every single person watching this program. But it doesn't happen automatically. You have to call out. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has already made the provision, but now you have to respond and bow the knee and say, I make you my Lord. I receive what you did for me. Did you know if a person dies and never accepts Jesus, they will go to hell, but their sins were paid for. Jesus paid for the sins of the entire human race, 1 John 2:2, that He's the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's already paid for the sins of the whole world. People aren't going to hell for their individual sins. They've been dealt with. If people go to hell, they go to hell for the rejection or the ignoring of Jesus. And that's the real sin. That God Almighty loved us so much that He sent His Son and paid such a great price, and people either reject that or ignore it. There isn't a hell deep enough or an eternity long enough to punish a person who just ignores or rejects Jesus. God has already done this. Your salvation is already purchased. It's like having a present and it's already handed to you. He's got His hand out and here it is. It's already done. It's gift wrapped. You don't have to ask God to save you. All you got to do is reach out and just bow the knee and reach out and by faith receive what God is offering to you. God has already provided salvation. It's a matter of will you receive it, not a matter of will He do it. Some people are thinking, but I'm not worthy. None of us are. But before you even existed, He had already paid for your sins. It's already a done deal. It's not a matter of will He do it. By grace, it's already done. It's all down to will you receive it. That's all that matters. You know, we've got a number on your screen, and we've got people standing by, and I just know in my heart that there are people all over the world that you've understood a few things through what I said. Maybe you believed in the existence of God, but you just thought, how could He accept me? You were looking at yourself and look what I've done. God provided salvation before you even sinned. Before you committed the sin, He already forgave your sin. It's already done. God's part, grace, is already accomplished. You don't have to wonder, will He do it? He's already done it. It's just down to you. Are you going to respond positively to what God did for you? That's what the Bible calls faith. Are you going to make Jesus your Lord? Or are you going to continue to go your way and ignore it or reject it? These people that will answer the phone, they can give you these materials that we're offering, but you know what? They can also pray with you and they could help you to receive God's grace. God's grace is already done, but you've got to reach out and receive it. And I would just like to encourage you to call that number that you have on your screen. We have people wherever you are that would take a call, and we would love to see you come into relationship with God. By grace, it's already done. Now, it's all up to you. Are you going to respond positively to what God has done? Please call that number. And as you call, remember that we are offering all of these products that could help you, and it would be a blessing to you. So please call that number and receive Jesus today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today. While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call in their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Caris Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked and, you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, feed them.
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
another changed life, changing the world. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College.
Are you a world changer? Charis Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Grace and the Sovereignty of God, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th. He'll also be in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 10th through the 12th, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.